Good morning and welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this Friday morning. It's the 4th of November and it's almost election day. So we're going to be talking a lot about the election and a lot about what's going on. And we have a wonderful panel. Let me introduce you to introduce them to you in just a moment. A reminder, if you were not with us yesterday, that we have a new email address for you to write to us. So if you would like your letter to be considered and to go into the queue for Alan, all you have to do is write panel@wamc.org, and that's P-A-N-E-L. I don't believe there is any other pronunciation of panel, or excuse me, spelling of panel other than P-A-N-E-L, although I do know that it is one of the most misspelled words, only because when people write about the panel, they often say A-L, so I just want to make sure people know P-A-N-E-L. Okay.
There is another pronunciation, by the way.
Panel?
Panel.
Panel, yes. So we welcome your letters at that address. The other address will still work for a little while, but as of the 14th, if you write to that one, then we won't read them. Simple as that. So panel@wamc.org. Let me introduce our panel to you. And Alan Chartok is with us. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hi, Joe. Hi, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning. Rosemary Armeo, who is the director of the journalism program.
Very good, yes.
Thank you.
At
UAlbany. Mm-hmm. And one of our favorite guests because she's been very...
Because I have no filter.
Yes. Well, you have some filter, right?
I think so.
But yeah, I do too.
Yes. Yeah. And Barbara Smith is with us, who author and activist and just dear friend. And she joins us this morning as well. And we are delighted to have you with
us. Good morning, TGIF.
Yes. So this is the last push, right? This is the get out the vote. Everybody working very hard in both campaigns to get out the vote and to make sure that people... do what they should do. I want to start with a new Time CBS poll, which shows, I know, sit down, this will be shocking, ladies and gentlemen, it shows voter disgust. An overwhelming majority of voters are disgusted by the state of American politics, and many harbor doubts that either major party nominee can unite the country after a historical, ugly presidential campaign. According to the final pre-election New York Times, CBS News poll. I think that's the coolest thing is that, yes, this is the final poll. So that so at least they're starting to wind down. In a grim preview of the discontent that may cloud at least the outset of the next president's term, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are seen by a majority of voters as unlikely to bring the country back together after this bitter election season, with more than 8 in 10 voters. That's an extremely high number. 8 in 10 voters saying the campaign has left them repulsed rather than excited. That
you
from
know,
the New York Times.
Yes, you know, Al. Joe and panel, I heard Hillary last night on the television saying that people had been coming up to her and saying that they couldn't sleep and that they couldn't eat and that their stomachs were butterflies because of the anticipation of this election. And I got to tell you, it is something that I understand so well. You know, this morning, the Times has a story that unemployment is so far down in this country that it's extraordinary. More jobs have been created, but yet it's an election in which white males are saying, make America great again. Well, it's gotten to be pretty good. That's where I'm sitting. But the idea of each of us having to bite our fingernails off waiting for this Tuesday night thing is more than many of us can bear.
I have been going through various stages of grief throughout this election cycle, and I agree with you, Alan. I think the last 24 hours, especially with the polls in some of the swing states coming in and even these polls showing the race, so razor thin. It is very distressing, and yes, I agree. I don't know. It's hard to stay away from it. You say to yourself, I'm not going to read about it. I'm going to try to stay sane, and then of course you can't.
One of the reasons we love to have Barbara on the panel, and her contributions have been amazing, is that we get insights that we might not otherwise have. But it does turn out that in this election, it is going to be the African-American vote that either makes Hillary or not. Now, I don't think Barbara is the spokesman for all African-Americans. On the other hand, she has insights that are extraordinary. I wonder, Barbara, if you could help us with that one.
Well, I'm aware of that analysis, and that's what people are saying, that there's not nearly the level of enthusiasm among black voters that there was for Obama's two campaigns and two elections. And I find that really, really hard to deal with, because if they love Obama, then they should want to love, and they should love to have his legacy not be destroyed. And if the other person gets in, if Trump gets in, it will be destroyed. So it's like being able to figure out if A happens, if you love this, and B equals, and you know what I'm saying? It's like an equation.
Right.
So the thing is that I just, you know, like I heard that President Obama gave a great speech in Miami yesterday,
yes.
And I haven't had time to listen to it. But all I can say whenever I hear about that kind of thing happening, I say to myself out loud, black people, are you listening? Black people, are you listening? Oh, really?
Well, and that seems to be what he's saying. I mean, he's mm-hmm. moving across these states, North Carolina, Florida, and going to African-American regions within those states and talking to the population, as is Michelle Obama. And I don't know what the overall, I mean, we've had discussions many times mm-hmm. here about the power of a surrogate. But it seems when you have the president and the first lady talking, and I'll ask the panel, I'm about to make a statement that I believe is true, but isn't it unprecedented to see a sitting president, or even a lame duck president, be this involved in the last stages of a campaign?
Well, it's happened before, but it's usually for a vice president, not for a former
yes.
rival. That's part of the oddness of it. And I don't know. I just am afraid it's not going to work. It did not help to have the immensely popular president say, "Yeah, you got to vote against Brexit." That actually was used against him. Don't tell us what to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, but it was another country.
Yeah, but I feel the same way with the population. They have targeted Obama. I mean, it's Hillary they hate now, but only because, or in part because, she's an extension of Obama. The people who are voting for Trump are not listening to Barack Obama.
But
it's like Thomas, I'm sorry, it's like Thomas Friedman, in a columnist for the New York Times today, writing a column addressed to people who are going to make possibly a terrible mistake and vote for Trump. They're not reading Thomas Friedman in the New York Times.
That's, yeah, I think of that all the time as
right.
I read every story I can possibly manage to read. I think about all this great information, all these statistics, all whatever it is, all this great thinking, and I think, but they are not reading this stuff. They're not reading it, and they don't care about it.
And
but,
if it's pointed out to them, they just say, liberal press.
Elite.
It's
yeah,
nothing.
Elite.
It's nothing.
But to take a step back to Alan's point and to Barbara's earlier point, when we're just looking at, if we're looking at black voters and in swing states, is it effective in that regard of having these two surrogates in areas, and will that work?
Minority populations and young people, I think, yes, they listen. But, boy, it's hard. Like Barbara, it's hard for me to imagine how you justify being in that population and voting for Donald Trump, who has targeted, insulted. I don't get. I've been saying black women have saved Hillary Clinton's candidacy up to now. They supported her so strongly during the primaries, and Latinos now are coming out in force for Hillary Clinton. Both the early voting shows that they're coming out in great numbers, and there's a wonderful new commercial put out by a Latino group that's targeting the fear and the hatred that Trump has brought against them.
Well, there's another way to look at that, Rosemary, and that is, it's terrific from the Trump supporter, excuse me, from the Clinton supporters' projections that Latinos are coming out in great numbers. However, the one thing that the polling shows is that black voters, African-American voters, are much more solidly for Clinton than Hispanic voters are. In other words, there are a number of Hispanic voters who are going to vote for Trump. So that while it's great you're having all of these people voting, it is not the same as if, and that's why I asked Barbara the question in the beginning, and sort of it's what would it take? Because to me, when the President of the United States tries to transfer his immense, immense popularity among blacks and whites to Hillary, that is a huge thing. You know, if I were campaigning, running this campaign, I'd buy him an hour of time in prime time on every station and let him do his thing. That's how effective I think these speeches in Miami and North Carolina have been.
What I wanted to say is that I don't think it's so much about black voters voting for Trump. I don't think very many black people are going to do that because, let's face it, we have not lost our natural minds. But the thing is that I think the real issue is that black voters stay home. Yeah. I think that for people who are never involved in electoral politics, who never voted on any kind of consistent basis or at all prior to 2008, their experience of a campaign that's worth coming out for is the one where you elect the first black president and then reelect him. For people who don't understand or have that kind of connection to the electoral process over time, those are the people who are going to, you know, just say, it's just not that important. It's only one vote. And it doesn't make any difference if I stay home. It's only one vote. Well, that's how people lose, by people having that kind of point of view. So it's it is really a nail biter. I'm getting anxious just sitting here talking about it.
I can't talk about it anymore. I think I have to go on a break.
But you know, when Rosemary said that she was turning off CNN because she didn't like,
I'm boycotting them.
Yeah,
yes.
Right. I'm not watching it either anymore. I'll tell you because I'll tell you it just is too much agita connected with it.
A couple of weeks ago, when I was reading the articles for one of the Friday shows that I do, I was just feeling like I'm going to explode. This is just too much. It was when the things came out about the videotape of him with Billy Bush and talking about the sexual assault that he, of course, denies. But I just felt like this is so disgusting. It's so ugly. It's so around the bend, horrible. But it is where we are. And if the worst happens, from my point of view, if the worst happens, I think that U.S. democracy will be in deep jeopardy. And some people feel it is now because of how low he has brought the process and the dialogue.
Joe, we got a letter from Daisy, who writes almost every day to criticize me for one thing or another, but says, Alan, no. Why are you saying that about Hispanics? All the numbers I've been reading overwhelmingly for HRC. Get your facts straight. And that's from Daisy. No, I read it in no less august a newspaper, I believe, than the New York Times, which is the comparison is not how many, what proportion. It is that. There is a much greater proportion of people who will vote for Republicans who are Hispanic. That doesn't mean they're not overwhelmingly for HRC. But the African American polling is showing a unity for HRC, virtually nobody going the other way. That's what I meant, Daisy, and you know it.
I'm done. Okay. let's go to so this idea of the last days, what do you think? So we have some Clinton supporters here. So Rosemary, let me begin with you. The case that she needs to make over the next 72 hours.
Yeah, and I'm disappointed she hasn't done it in the past week. I want her to stop talking about how horrible Trump is and start talking about her plan. She actually does have vision. She actually has done much more planning than Trump's people. She knows what she wants to do in office. I really wish she would start talking about that. A positive note would go a long way. On the second step, her campaign needs to bring out some of the incredible information that's coming out about the FBI and how this new investigation came about. It's scary stuff. Newsweek, investigative reporting on MSNBC, a number of places are beginning to look at how there's a group of rogue FBI agents who hate Hillary Clinton, were very upset that she was let off in July, and so they've planted information so it would come out right now at this time. They're interfering with the elections. So that's what I would like to see done, those two things. I don't want to hear about his sex stuff anymore.
Well, it's like the FBI under Herbert Hoover.
He was in for J. Edgar.
I'm so sorry.
We knew
a common mistake.
Right.
I don't think they were related.
No, I don't think so. Well, I don't want to get into
maybe
trivia.
In philosophy.
But anyway, now that thanks for the correction. So sorry that I don't want to mislead anybody. But as I said, like the FBI under J. Edgar Hoover, which was such a rogue organization for so many decades that harassed people involved in the civil rights movement and the Black Panthers, etc. I'm sure the Native American movement, the Young Lords, anybody who was trying to work for change, even the women's movement. He, as long as he was at the helm, there was that kind of harassment. Of course, that was under COINTELPRO. But it's just really, I don't really know what she can do. I agree with the ideas that you suggested, the directions that you would wish that she would take. But I think that with the FBI news breaking, that it's really hard to focus on those other grand vision kinds of things.
The most scary thing, I'll just say this and then let somebody else have a chance, but the most scary thing in MSNBC show this was surrogates for Trump several days before last Friday were saying, oh just hold on, we
That's
got
right.
a big one up our sleeve.
Yeah, I saw that interview.
Which certainly suggests that they knew what the FBI was doing.
Right, that was Giuliani who was saying that, right?
And exactly, and who was Giuliani? A former federal prosecutor with understandably deep ties with the FBI in New York City,
foreshadow that.
So I feel like this horrible, silly conspiracy theorist, and yet I see where we are right now, and it's hard not to think otherwise.
We only have about a minute, but at what benefit? I mean, I understand, obviously Giuliani is a supporter, but to do this much work for a candidate that much of this party doesn't believe in, I guess it's the hatred of Hillary that overshadows.
No, he's going to be the attorney general, no question about it. He's going to have Giuliani time, as we used to call it in New York City, for the whole nation. It's going to be right wing repressive. No two ways about it. That's what this is about.
And who suffered most under Giuliani time? That was a phrase that I think. Did he come up with that, or was it people of color living in New York who talked about?
Sure.
Was it police officers beating somebody up and doing police brutality and saying as they did it, it's Giuliani time?
Yep.
I think that's how that came about.
Yep.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back and continue our conversation. Alan Chartok, Barbara Smith, and Rosemary Armeo. We welcome your letters. Panel@wamc.org. Panel@wamc.org. We'll be back right after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this Friday, the last day of the week, the first Friday of the month. It's November 4th, and it's very nice to have you with us. So we welcome your comments, and you can comment at panel@wamc.org. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Barbara Smith joining us this morning. Melania Trump made her first speech yesterday since the Republican National Convention. That speech certainly very, very much criticized afterwards. It was praised while it was happening and immediately after, and then was criticized because portions of the speech were lifted from a speech that that Michelle Obama gave. Yesterday, she gave a speech having to do with, they said she would give several throughout the campaign. This was the first and perhaps the last. It is no secret to anyone. She freely admits that she doesn't like this going out on the campaign trail. So she made a speech yesterday. And So a first lady, a prospective first lady picks their issue, right? They come out and they say, what is it going to be? And Barbara Bush, it was literacy and libraries. And for Michelle Obama, it was childhood obesity and working and empowering young women and girls. And for Melania Trump, it appears that it's going to be cyberbullying. Now, I assume that this was discussed at a meeting, but I don't know. I don't really know. But it seemed that if the effect was to say, oh, here's someone who can really tackle this problem, that young women and girls and boys that of what they go through online. And then while there are numerous reports going on about, obviously, the long-term effect of the cyberbullying of her husband on Twitter. So, I don't know. Is that, as Alan would say, accidentally on purpose? I don't know.
First of all, you buried the lead. She also plagiarized again, stealing a line from her, I guess not a rival, but from another Mrs. Trump, Marla Maples.
Yes.
I thought that was hysterical. Why wouldn't you double check her speech this time to make sure it doesn't happen again?
Look, they're trying to find any way they can to pull in some of the people that they don't have, and this was a sort of a Hail Mary thing, saying
get the Slovenia vote.
Yeah, yeah.
that could be a thing. You never know.
No, but it's the women. That's what it's really all about. And that is why they had her out there. Look, you got to imagine yourself sitting around a table with black smoke coming up out of the cigars. And here are these folks. They're saying, what can we do to bring this group in, to bring this group in, or to bring this group in? And that's what they had her out there doing. But the hypocrisy of her lecturing everybody else on bullying when she's married to one of the great bullies of all times, that's another whole story. And that really was repulsive.
Who, if he's successful, will become the bully in chief?
Right. Well,
I have to say, I think she's adorable, and I hate Trump. She's up there like a little Barbie doll, and I think she's subverting her own husband. I mean, you remember that when they went to the second debate, and that's when the Billy Bush bus stuff was just coming out, she wore a fashion that includes a big ribbon around her neck, and in the fashion cycles, that's called a pussy bow. I love that. What is she saying? In her first speech at the convention, she plagiarizes from the wife of his chief rival. How cool is that? And now she has taken on the issue that he is most famous for abusing. I think there's a little subversion going on. That would be so Balkans. She's from the Balkans. That's exactly what they do.
Can I just say, respectfully, that is not the case. They didn't put her out there to subvert Donald Trump's campaign, nor...
No,
is
they
it,
didn't. She, no, she's doing is, it. She's getting no, around their dictates.
Rosemary, she is not. She's doing what they told her to do. I'm sure every word of that speech was looked over before she did it. And I think, you know, it's just sort of silly to think that she's some way subversive to the Trump campaign, because that's not why she was there.
I want to get back to Joe's question about how could people who were actually planning and strategizing have her go out and say that her major issue would be bullying and cyberbullying? Because it's just like, as reading the tweets that were attached to this article, people saying, well, why don't you start with your husband? Or, you know, like 80% of the cyberbullying that is happening at the present time would decrease or would drop if indeed he was taken off the internet. It's just like, I mean, were they thinking, if we have the wife, if we have Melania Trump say that she's opposed to bully, will that like X out and erase all the incredible abuse and bullying that he has done, both on and offline?
In some people's mind, Barbara, yes. The answer is yes. They don't want everybody. They want some. And there are some people who are looking for cover. They want to vote for Trump, but he's been, you know, he's turned them off so many times. So now they try to give them an excuse to vote for Trump. And here you have a surrogate for him saying, we're against bullying. And so, oh, that's good enough for me. Now I go vote for Trump.
Let's, before we go to a break, do some letters, and then we'll come back and do a couple more issues.
Well, we have a lot of letters, and, you know, and Henry says, Melania is so phony, I felt I was watching a scene from Borat. And then Pierre says,
Watch that one.
Watch that one. Thank you, Joe.
Okay, you're welcome.
Okay, gotcha. We'll skip that one then, because they use a bad word. All right. And then Dina says that when we said, or somebody said, that there are some, the people on the Trump side are not reading Tom Friedman in the New York Times. And I think of this as exactly the kind of the media missing the entire point. I would. And there you go. Okay. And then we hear, I am not happy with the election's turn of events, as are many others. Please continue to give both sides of the issue, not be slanted to one side or the other. I hope to hear this missive on the air. Sincerely, first-time writer. Okay, thank you very much. And Mark says, this is perfectly consistent with Trump's pattern. He always accuses his opponents of the exact thing he is guilty of. And then Maureen says, what will happen to the press if Trump wins? Please discuss. Panel, I am terrified over the possible outcome of the presidential election. Bottom line, Donald Trump is a fascist. I have bad dreams that Trump's slogan, let's make America great again, morphs into Arbit Makai Free Fry. In other words, the truth will set you free. Okay. Let's see.
Arbit Makai Free.
Yeah, Arbit. I'm so sorry.
Work will set you free. Yes, the ironic free. Yeah. Message yeah, over will. Auschwitz.
Thank you for that. I really appreciate that, Rosemary. Really. I love the panel discussion, says Robert, especially as the election nears. Joe is excellent and a skilled moderator. Rosemary's passion bursts through the radio, and Alan's always well-reasoned arguments are welcome. I share your nervousness about the election. I no longer read or listen to any reporting on the polls. Angel wants to know, or is it Angel? Oh, it must be Angel. Angel wants to know, good morning. If you could explain why North Carolina is so important in the election, if all votes count. Well, there's something called the Electoral College, and what you look is at the toss-up states, the states that went for Obama 1 year, 4 years later, didn't go for him by a small margin. So you get in there, not to the blue wall for the Democrats or the red wall for the Republicans, you go to the places where there's a real toss-up. Anybody else want in on that one?
And for people who are doing the calculations, they have several, you know, probably, well, I guess it's more like several as opposed to dozens, but they have several scenarios as to how each of the candidates could get to 270. So North Carolina is really, really critical for, it would be critical for Trump to get to 270. It would make the pathway to 270 much easier for him, although my understanding is not quite. He would still be at 265 or whatever based upon the likely projections. But if she gets it, if Hillary gets it as opposed to Trump, then other things that are not as close will probably fall and, you know, fall into place. That's my understanding.
We've got a lot of letters about the FBI, very critical of the FBI role. I can't read them all. But many. Please refer to James Kallstrom, the former head of the FBI in New York City, and his comments in the New York Post and an interview with Fox News. There is perhaps some basis to think there may be an FBI conspiracy. Athena takes some umbrage with me and says, please tell Alan to spit out the marbles. All right. Thank you, Athena. We always like to read the critical ones. Alana says, I, too, have been emotionally affected by this campaign. I find it hard to believe that we as a nation have sunk so low, but I have to admit that the great division of our country has been brought to the forefront. This is so much deeper than any president, one president could solve. Let's hope that that reason will win out, and that's from Alana. Good morning, panel. We hear so much about the presidential candidates, but virtually nothing about their running mates. It's quite conceivable that neither Trump nor Clinton will make it through their terms, as it is with anyone. So why not concentrate on the vice presidential candidates? Who would you want to be elevated to the position of president? Perhaps the shift in focus would help. Well, let me say, it's a little late now to do that. Hi, panel.
Hi.
Listen every day. A question. What is the RCV, and how does it affect local and national elections, if any? And that's for Lee from Chatham. Anybody want to answer that one?
I have no idea.
To find out what it is.
What's the RCV?
That makes it complete. Thank you. Okay. And Lee says, I have always loved Canada, but back when I was a draft resistor, I decided my plan to escape up north was just deserting the struggle. If somehow Trump becomes president, America once again will need all of us to help reestablish some sanity. And that's Lee from Modena. Oh boy, there's so many of these. Trump votes. I think we overlooked the fact that there are so many less affluent, educated, and employed who are so very disillusioned and who are not only struggling to have a decent life but don't have much hope of there ever being opportunity for a better life. They respond to Trump's simple and direct fantasy message that pulls no punches. All right. And there's a lot of letters on Giuliani time. The phrase comes from members of the New York Police Department. It is meant to make clear the nature of the transition. You said that, Barbara.
Yes, I did.
You absolutely did. It is meant to make clear the nature of the transition in law enforcement procedures from the administration of David Dinkins to that of Rudolph Giuliani. In other words, and then it says a word which we don't use on the radio show, know your place. And we got that one. And Paul says, Trump points his finger at government saying that it is run by big money and at HRC claiming to pay for play when his own campaign is primarily paid for by a fellow named Mercer, who installed Conway, Bannon, Ailes, and one other who historically has spent his career smearing the Clintons. What a hypocritical buffoon. And AB writes, Obama does need to be out there. Nobody is going to change the pro-Trump voters. Obama et al. Are trying to get the people who are being swayed to Trump over the last few weeks to wake up and think twice about the world, what the world would look like with a Trump presidency versus a Clinton presidency. And every analyst that I've read said Trump is out there making sure that the red wall holds up and going as hard as he can to solidify what we call his base.
Alan, I'm going to hold you there.
Please.
We have a break, and we're going to go do that, and then we'll come back and tackle some more issues. We'll be right back. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Barbara Smith this morning on the panel. I'm Joe Donahue. We welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Shannon Rose Design, Saratoga Springs, New York, working to help companies and organizations express their identities through corporate branding, web design and development, and graphic design for almost three decades. ShannonRose.com. Hummingbird Jewelers, Rhinebeck, custom design specialist since 1978, featuring gemologists and appraisers, on-premises repair, restoration, and repurposing of family heirlooms. HummingbirdJewelers.com. And Apex Solar Power, Queensbury, New York, installing solar-powered systems throughout the Northeast with installs completed in one day. ApexSolarPower.com.
I will admit I don't know if I am fascinated slash really worried about this story because I'm from Philadelphia or just because it's but it does seem to be a huge story to me, and that is the transit strike in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
There's a great concern that the we refer to in Pennsylvania as SEPTA, which is the Southern Pennsylvania Transportation Authority. They're in their second day of strikes, and the negotiations are going on. But the big concern is that this could really hurt voter turnout in Philadelphia, especially downtown Philadelphia and the outskirts. Some 900,000 people use SEPTA every single solitary day. And SEPTA, for those of you who don't know, this is the buses, the trolleys, the subways. This is everything. And so there are negotiations now, even if the strike continues, that at least workers will go back to work for Election Day. Initially, the union has said that they thought that, the statement was outrageous, and they are expected to make some more comment on that later on. Although, so they're both not only trying to work out the deal between the Transportation Authority and obviously just bring SEPTA back to work, but also at very least hoping to work out some sort of negotiation for Tuesday and for Election Day. But it is something of certainly of concern, especially I would think to the Clinton campaign.
Absolutely. Is that a story that we have?
No, mm-hmm. It's an add-on extra.
Yes, yeah, so it's breaking. Yes, I was searching for it. I did not know about that until you mentioned it. But that's disastrous. Completely. Yeah,
you got to be on your toes around here, Barbara, because we.
I think Herbert Hoover ran the FBI. So clearly, I'm not on my toes.
And I got those marbles in my mouth. I just spent the break taking them out. So that's right. We got a definition, Joe, of RVC from Wikipedia, of all places, also known as alternative vote, transferable vote, single seat, ranked choice voting, preferential voting, is a use in a single seat elections when there are more than two candidates. Instead of voting for a single candidate, an IRV, voters can rank the candidates in order of preference, but we don't have that here.
I don't think we should have known that. I don't feel.
Well, I should have known that. I certainly know about transferable voting, but yes, it was out of left field. Yes,
I don't feel that my knowledge is completely tapped on that one. I don't feel that I would know that. But okay, let's go. Anybody else in Philly? We're good. Anybody?
Well, it's awful. I mean, you know, when you look back on history and you see what we call intervening variables determining our fate. Now you got a union who's out there, and the union is going to say, okay, we believe in this. We think this is a strategic time to do it. Nevertheless, the union may, as you have just suggested, be responsible for an outcome which unions all over America may find unfavorable.
I think it's too early to panic. There are several days remaining and lots of cloud up to the presidency that can be applied to end this. And also, Hillary does have a ground game. Remember, she's not Trump in Pennsylvania. And you get people to the polls, you can bus them, you can ship them, you can walk them down. I don't think it's going to be quite the disaster that we're pretending.
No, and I think as far
could
as,
be.
I mean, obviously Election Day is of great concern, but SEPTA is also used by school students, and also keeping 60,000 kids in the city from going to school.
That's the first thing I thought of.
That would be a motivator.
I'm sorry, I'm like so single-minded. All I'm thinking is
as
voters.
The election.
That's
no,
so
we
funny.
Actually. So if we need another inducement to get this thing done, I think it's probably to get the 60,000 kids to school.
My apologies.
Every day.
I certainly see that, and I did not before.
No apologies necessary, Rosemary, because it is a very good point.
But again, but also to Rosemary's point that, you know, they're finding ways to get the kids to school, and I'm sure voters will find a way too, but still, it is concerning. Okay, let us go to one other issue, and then before we go to our top of the hour news break, and are you all right? Okay, there we go. One second while I bring this up. Actually, Alan, why don't you go to do some letters while I try to bring this up?
Whoa.
All right. I don't know if Alan's with us anymore. Whoa. Alan, are you still there? Okay. I think we lost. Oh,
there,
are you there, Alan?
Yeah.
Everything okay?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Although there is a suspicion that one day I'll just stop talking and that'll be it.
Okay. Well, we were checking in with you, but then we didn't hear back, so we didn't know what happened. We heard some bumping, so just wanted to make sure. Do you want to do some letters, and then we'll go to the break?
I'll do whatever you tell me, Joe.
Okay, let's do that.
To make up for that mess. And John says, thanks for your always informative discussion. What topics or arguments do you suggest when talking with Donald Trump supporters? Well, I think all of that has been said by the President of the United States, don't you think? I mean, nobody could have done a better job of summing it all up than he. Harry Page says, retired Justice Souter recently participated in a panel discussion. He stated that the biggest danger to our democracy to lay the increasing ignorance of our citizens. He was so right. So many do not read newspapers, read books, read magazines, or listen to informative stations such as WAMC. They get their news from cable news sources such as Fox. Ignorance seems to rule in this election, and it is frightening. And then we've had a lot on Melania. Dear panel, it seems to be a surprise that the esteemed panel does not consider Melania to be enough of her own woman to be able to speak independently about her priorities and experience. Right. Your reaction to that speech seems to presume her subordination to her husband. Best
that
regards.
I believe that was
the whole point of mine. I think
it
she's
was.
Subverting
it,
her
it
husband.
Was.
Which I really liked. I have to say, I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just happens to be wrong. It happens to be wrong. You don't put a surrogate out there to do damage to your campaign. Let me assure you of that. So you can say that. You can take a feminist track on this thing. But the fact of the matter is, they don't send her out there to be her own person.
That's called mansplaining.
Okay, thank you very much for that, and I'm not going to get into that with you. Peter says, what she can be recycling to? They may be, only be just words, but a repeated speech is a remembered speech. Just ask Mr. T. I don't know what that means. Okay, so Nan says, Hillary Clinton, repeat 20 times. Okay, just wanted to hear her name this morning, as many times we're hearing Trump's. Okay.
That's a good letter.
Yeah. Okay. And,
that made me laugh.
Okay. Rosemary's right. Melania is publicly shaming her husband. Okay.
Going to yell at her too, Alan?
No, I'm not going to yell
gonna
at
be,
her. I'm just telling you that's
nice.
Not. Look, you could take a poll. You could get 300 people behind you, Rosemary, and say they sent her out there to speak her mind against her husband.
She did not. To argue Rosemary's point here just for a minute, because they're not sending her out. I think the point is that they're saying to go out, and she's doing her own thing, and that thing is rather sly. I agree with it. I think that she's... I'm not saying I think they're sending her out with a purpose, but I don't think she's living up to that purpose. I think she has her own agenda.
You don't think she wrote that speech was written and vetted before she got out there?
The last one wasn't.
From the Department of Night. Oh, I don't know about that.
There may have been some
jerk who gave her a speech with somebody else's name words on it. But that happens. That is not the first time that's happened that a staff member screwed it up.
Look, there's one letter writer who wrote and said I was racist for saying that she's balkan and subversive, like I was impugning her. You have to know that I've worked there, and I'm saying it in an admiring tone.
No, it was...
Yeah.
I think that's, the ball, they split into parts, and they, like, get around. They get what they've been oppressed for so many years. They get what they want indirectly and sneakily. I think it's awesome.
All right, we're out of time. It's time for a break. We'll be right back with more panel after the news. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable panel and to our group this morning, Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Barbara Smith making up the group this morning. And we welcome your letters. It's very simple. Go to panel, P-A-N-E-L at WAMC.org.
Joe,
yes.
Speaking of letters, we had two on Rosemary that I thought we should share. One is Rosemary teaching a course? Where do I sign up? And that's Fred from Newburgh. And then Ralph says, Rosemary, enough about Rosemary and her racist comments about those in the Balkans. And so let me make my position on Rosemary clear. I love her, and I can't tell you how important it is that she's with us. hey, this is a panel. People have different ideas. That's what it's about.
Thank you, Alan.
You're welcome, dear.
All right. Now that we've all made nice, let's go to some other things happening in the news. I did want to get to this particular story, and why is everything there? We go. It was about this issue of why sexual harassment persists in politics. This was a story in the New York Times, and they said that it's been 25 years since Anita Hill testified against Clarence Thomas before an all-male Senate Judiciary Committee and propelled the term sexual harassment into the national spotlight. Once again, the nation is debating gender roles amid a presidential campaign that features a woman, Hillary Clinton, who stands a chance of becoming America's first female president against a man, Donald Trump, who has been caught on a recording bragging about kissing and groping women whenever he wanted. Across America, women are increasingly emboldened to discuss the harassment they experience. Last week in Alaska, a lawyer accused Justice Thomas of groping her at a dinner party. In 1999, he has denied the claim as preposterous, as he did after the charges were made in 1991 by by Anita Hill, who's now a Brandeis University professor. Since the release of the Trump recording, more than 10 women have accused the candidate of groping them, accusations that he, too, has denied. But in this tumbling forth, there is another little-noticed truth. Politics and legislatures, like many other environments, remain rife with sexual harassment, and young people, including men, are particularly at risk and still reluctant to speak out. So when it comes to a campaign like this, is this an opportunity to discuss it and bring it out in the open, which is, of course, is a question that we probably talked about in 1991, and that didn't seem to get us extremely far. What do you think, Rosemary?
Oh, don't come to me first. I want to react.
Okay.
Well, one of the things about being in office, unless you have really strong character and are good character, is that you get a lot of attention. And you can easily, made the point in the article that being elected and having an office means that you have power. And if you are challenged, that is challenged in your moral, you know, and your ethical bearings, then you might think like, well, you know, I'm so powerful. My district, you know, my committees, my this, every time I go somewhere, I get introduced, people applaud me, blah, 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 blah. Maybe that means, or perhaps that means that I also have more excuse or more justification in treating women as my playthings. So it's if you have to be in it for the right reasons, and a lot of people are not in it for the right reasons. I'm talking about being in political office.
Mm-hmm. You know, we women don't help ourselves with this sometimes too, Barbara. Like the superstars and musicians and guys who go to prison for heinous crimes all get solicited by women. There is something. I know it's not our fault. I'm not blaming the victims, but there's something about ingrained sexism that we adopt these ridiculous ideas that these are desirable men.
You mean the bad boys?
The bad boys are better. Mm-hmm.
Alan, you want in or are you good?
No, I'm good. I ran a series of internship programs, and we had a lot of training on all of this. And, you know, it is a problem. There's no two ways about it. I've seen it again and again. What else can I tell you? It's there. It's real.
Another part of it is that when you talk about, well, even I think on the state level, almost every level of government is so male dominated.
Yep.
I mean, even to this day, I served on our Albany City Council, which is referred to as a common council, and we have never had half women on it.
Nope.
Ever.
Nope.
and when you go to the state legislature, the New York State Legislature, you'll see the disproportionate participation of males. And then when you get to Congress, it's just like, wow.
Yeah, we're happy that it's, what, 20% now at the federal level, right, in the legislature. And that's the highest it ever has been. And that's pathetic.
Right.
It's just very pathetic.
So when you have those male-dominated enclaves, then you also have an atmosphere in which nobody questions our set standards, sure, or talks reality, tells the truth about, this is how it really makes me feel. This is how your behavior is making it impossible for me to function in what is supposed to be a workplace.
I think we also do a terrible job with women politicians of all ideology. I mean, I've talked way too much probably about what Hillary has put up with, and I find that she's very brave. Win or lose, she is paving a way for other women to follow her. But even Sarah Palin, who I would never vote for, there was a woman, she's the governor of the state, and boys were oogling her legs and talking about her hair and her body. And we just put down every woman. Fox is terrible, but so are the liberal stations too. They talk about appearances, they're just belittling all the time. And we just kind of accept it.
All right.
You don't want to get in on this, Joe?
No, I didn't know if Alan was still there. I think we lost him again. Okay. We'll get that corrected. Should we take a break, do you think? And
get it corrected?
We don't know where... Is Alan, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
I think what's happened is we had a letter saying that there were traffic sounds coming on the air, and that's because, I have to confess, I'm in New York, and the window was open, and the traffic was making a lot of noise. So I got up to close the window. That's where I was. If I need an excuse.
Oh, okay. All right. We didn't know if we had lost you. Okay.
No.
All right. Let us go to a couple of letters then, and then we'll move on to some other stuff.
Okay. Mark says, I think Obama's election was one of the greatest moments in our democracy, and yet I have conservative friends that I have spent the last 8 years feeling as sick about Obama as many people do now about Trump. This current election is a symptom of a greater long-existing problem in this country that's to be solved to the satisfaction of both sides of the long-term future of our country is in real danger. And by the way, pretty much everyone I know on both sides is sick of this election. And Lisa says, Melania is a phony, says a listener. What about Hillary Clinton, who has public views versus private views, according to WikiLeaks? She's now the TPP pro-fracking and wants war with Russia. There's no proof that Russia is the source of the hacking, but she and her campaign perpetuate this idea. Nevertheless, I am black, will never vote for Hillary, and if Donald Trump wins, it is the fault of Hillary, establishment Democrats, and establishment media. By the way, the latest polls are showing that Jill Stein has somewhere between 4 and 5%. You realize that if that 4 or 5% went to Hillary, there would be no question about the outcome of this election. Anybody on that?
Well, yeah. I mean, and I don't know, because some polls, it becomes an apples and oranges comparison,
yeah,
because in
sure,
a lot of the polls, they don't take the Stein or Johnson candidacies into account. So I don't know what to make of that and how that is factored in. But it is, yes, it is concerning, especially in the swing states.
Yep. Mike says, let's not forget, should Trump win this election with his party divided and the entire pile of liberals against him, he would get nothing done. It would divide our country even further.
That depends on what happens with Congress.
Yes, that's true, Barbara. And it also depends on whether or not those people who are saying that he is nationalistic, and in some cases some people are calling him fascist, whether or not there would be an intervention in the usual democratic processes, if you're following my thinking.
Yes.
I think both Alan and Rosemary can be right about Melania's speech. The campaign was surely aware of content of speech and probably even succeeded in swaying people looking for an excuse to vote for Trump. But given their view of the world, could have completely missed the subversive nature of her remarks. James says, having worked for 3 years at Mercurio's Italian Deli in Queens when I was in college, we sold the cure for agita. And Rosemary, you're going to have to help me with this word. It's B-R-I-S-O-C-H-I. Brischoi? Brischoi?
I don't know.
No, me neither. I heard it again available, so stock up. We will need it. And that's from Jim. And Hank says, the Senate's guy is Pence. The plan to get there is through Trump. He will be mired in lawsuits and other FBI revelations and have to step down. Voila, President Trump, the FBI is part of the plot. Janine says, Rosemary, I love her and agree with everything she says about Hillary. Yes. And John says, Agita, yes. Agita for our democracy, yes. I have to believe that the American people are fundamentally sane. That said, I'm going out canvassing door to door this weekend for the first time in 40 years. May God save our republic. And Moynihan was wrong, says Daniel. If the average voter is getting their facts from Drudge or Breitbart or Fox and not reading Friedman in the New York Times, then the truth really doesn't matter. Limbaugh has called into question all fact-checking. Senator Moynihan is turning in his grave. The American voter now believes they are entitled to their own facts. And then we heard from, I don't know, we heard from a lot of people. We heard on a Gmail from Demosthenes, who says, I've always thought Alan has excellent diction. And Sheila says, the Wall Street Journal featured major article, Read Trump's Foreign Business Entanglements. Have heard very little about it. Big conflict of interest. More people should know about it. Sheila.
About what? I'm sorry.
About these business conflicts of interest internationally.
For Hillary Clinton?
No, for
Trump.
Oh, for Trump.
Trump.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Okay. And there's more mail on the vice presidential thesis that neither of the major candidates will end up there. If depending on who wins, the vice president will become the president. And so Roslyn says, hello, all. Too bad you gave this topic short shrift. Pence, among other things, voted for detention of undocumented immigrants seeking hospital treatment, for the use of public funds for gay conversion therapy, wrote an op-ed arguing that smoking doesn't kill. WAMC rules don't permit a longer list.
I will add his opposition to abortion under any conditions.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And also, didn't they have a bathroom bill and
In Indiana.
Right, so, yeah. And I think also the approval of discrimination based upon people's sexual orientation, excused by one's supposed religious beliefs.
And demanding a funeral for the fetus, correct?
That's correct, oh,
that's,
yes.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
Defunding Planned Parenthood.
Do you want to go? Let's go. We have just a few minutes. I want to get to Britain and Brexit. Britain's plan for getting out of the European Union was thrown into doubt Thursday as a senior court ruled that Prime Minister Theresa May will need to get Parliament's approval before she acts. The surprise decision introduced new uncertainty to a process already fraught with complication and threatened to derail May's timeline of triggering Article 50, the never-before-used mechanism for exiting the EU by the end of March. It also boosted the odds of the Prime Minister, in office since only July, will have to call a fresh election next year to win the mandate she needs to launch EU divorce talks. So my question, and maybe you can help me with this, Rosemary, is why did we not see this coming? Or did we?
Some people did. A referendum is an unusual thing. There's nothing in there that requires that you do this or that. It's like a popularity vote. You know, is the EU popular or not? And people said no. But there's nothing that requires by any law that they act on it. That's why Cameron said, you know, I can't stay because I don't really believe in this. So May comes in. She's not a strong proponent of Brexit, but she said, I'll follow the will of the people. And she seemed to be acting on that, wanted to do it quickly, like, let's get this over with. And now the brakes have been put on. And I'm not in favor, but I think it's a bad mistake. This will definitely delay things. It probably will not stop it forever. But before, it looked to be on a pace to be done within 2 years. I think you're looking at a much longer period. Now, the negative of it is that all this energy and time and effort, and a lot of money goes into this too, is being spent on separating from the EU rather than solving some of the myriad of other problems that Great Britain faces.
I was thinking about how destabilizing it will be or would be to the economy if indeed it drags out as you're describing.
Yeah, or if it happens. I mean, Brexit will there's hardly any way that anyone has come up with that arranges for a Brexit that is good for Britain's economy. I mean, if they get a great deal from the EU, that's fine, that would help. But what's the impetus for the EU to give them a great deal? They're not happy about it.
And then what happens afterwards?
Yeah.
Good grief.
The lesson for the United States is an election does not solve anything. So on November 9th, we're going to be in as much trouble as we are now. We have a very divided population. We have trouble seeing the other side. And I have worked on this. I still don't get it. And I think that's the same in Great Britain. The people who want to leave are not talking with the people who don't. They're not hitting the main issues that cause the separation. It's similar to what we have here, immigration and jobs and what the future is going to look like. And this is a time of instability and chaos, and you're seeing, I think that's why the Russians are interfering with our elections. They're messing around with France right now. It's a very fraught time.
The line that I read, that it also boosted the odds that the prime minister will have to call a fresh election next year to win the mandate that she needs to launch EU divorce talks. Is that in some ways just then again a referendum on Brexit, right? I mean, it becomes more of a secondary vote, obviously on the back of her political career, but on the overall issue.
Yeah.
Well, if you are saying if the High Court in Britain is saying, you have to have votes, and I heard it both ways yesterday, but the lower house, which certainly is the basis of British democracy, and she loses an election, I don't see, and you need to have approval from that from the parliament, and she loses the election, that could be chaotic, in Rosemary's words.
Yeah. I mean, partly you call an election as a ploy, you know, to show your strength. David Cameron tried that, and of course, it led to his...
it did not go well.
No, it did not go well. It led to his exit from office. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. It still has. It also hasn't been appealed yet. It goes up to another court, as I understand it. So, we're still in a bit of let's wait and see how this really plays out.
All right, we have about 8 minutes, so why don't we do a letter or two, and then okay. We will...
Eric says, hi, panel. I'm just glad there's only one more weekend left for a post-Friday weekend surprise. Will it be this weekend? Which campaign will get the last-minute kick just before the big day?
Well, they're right. Yeah, they've all been on Friday afternoons at like 2 o'clock, and who knows?
And then we have
stay by your
seven
radio.
Or eight letters on Brioski. Seven or eight letters. It's an antacid. That's what it is. And pronounced Brioski, says Stephen. It's like that pop, pop, fizz, fizz.
Oh, what a relief it is.
It is. What a relief is product. Okay. And we had a lot of letters on it. Which goes to our point, Joe, quite frequently, you never know what you're going to get letters on. Arlene said, once a well-known brand of solution for upset tummies. Have not heard the name myself for a long time. We should stock up now, though.
Yes, say Brioski, a lemon-flavored beverage mix.
Yeah, there you go.
It sounded familiar to me as soon as we started talking about it. I thought, I remember that.
And somebody sent me a picture of it, which is a blue container with big red letters across it, saying Brioski.
All right.
And
one more, and then we got to go.
Jeff says, the panel's comments on low black voter turnout are disappointing, somewhat racist even. Singling out a segment of the population is oversimplifying and problematic when overall turnout is so very low, hovering about 60%. Well, Barbara, people may call you anything they want, but the one thing that I'll get out with my fists for is defending you from being racist. You are the most articulate person on that issue that I have ever met.
All right, we got to go. Thank you very much.